This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Previously on the NBA Team Podcast, 2022 NBA Previews, the lower class.
That was just the poop on top of the shit Sunday.
And now our exciting conclusion.
With the fifth pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Detroit Pistons select Jaden Ivey from Purdue University.
Well, a dynamic and explosive guard who is great in transition. His speed is remarkable. In the open floor, he's fantastic. He can change speeds, but he's got a gear that very few other players have. It's Ja Morant type speed and explosiveness with Dwayne Wade type length.
All right, Adam, the Detroit Pistons, they get the number one pick. They pick Cade Cunningham, who was the consensus number one pick. He came out a little bit like slowish because of he had a knee injury going in, but I thought he had a really, really good rookie year. Long story short.
Yeah, we're going to go be very slow with him. We're going to be very cautious. You know, he didn't come back to 20 games in almost.
Yeah.
And, you're on a minutes restriction. You got to, sit back, learn. Okay, that's cool. He had his moments. We see there's, something. Stuff is going on.
Yeah.
You're starting to put together.
16 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Got to the free throw line a little bit. He actually led the team in steals, but they were a terrible steals team. He only averaged 1.2 steals a game. Leading the team is pretty terrible.
Here's the thing.
Yeah,
this is what you should take away from this. After March 1st, when, teams are starting to tank and go do what you want, he averaged 21 points and 6.7 assists a game. Those are nice numbers to end off on, as opposed to, rookies hit the wall and they sort of tail off towards the end.
No, he didn't. Yeah.
He got stronger. So with that, Killian Hayes, kind of a bust.
I think it's going to be time to unload him. Yeah, I think they could flip him into something. Even a role player, I think they could do.
You luck out, you get a person in Jaden Ivey you didn't think would be there, a person who can play alongside Cade. Mm-hmm. They could, lots of movement, lots of pick and roll, high-end pick and rolls now.
Adam, you're going to have to help me out with this one because this is also a guard. And I like Ivy. I think that he's it might be a little rough up and down working with Cade, but I think they can make it work because Cade plays the three a lot more than he plays the two or the one. So they can probably play off of each other and play a two-man game. Kemba Walker, this buyout is not officially done. Do you think from the Knicks deal, do you think he's actually going to play for Detroit?
He hasn't been bought out yet.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think he's going to go to training camp?
Why wouldn't you have him there?
That's what I'm saying. Give him a shot.
If you have a person who's willing to come in, I'm a former All-Star. Let me bring a positive attitude in here. I know I'm going to be gone come February, but let me build something here and be that nice guy.
For those who don't know, Walker was lumped into a deal that also involved Alec Burks and Nerlens Noel going to Detroit because New York was making room to sign Jalen Brunson. They also got a lottery pick from New York, and they picked Jalen Duren, who is also a highly touted prospect along with Ivy. So I don't want to say they made out like bandits because I don't know what Burks and Noel and Walker are going to be able to do at all for Detroit. It's better than nothing.
They also weren't terrible in New York. They were the solid things.
Well, Noel was hurt all the time. He only played 25 games.
He was, but this team has a lot of, come do business with us. Corey Joseph, we know he's gone.
I was shocked he even stayed.
Kemba Walker, gone. Alec Burks could be had. You got Rodney Magruder. You could take him. You got, Kelly Olynyk. Somebody need a stretch five? He could play. He could be useful. Nerlens, we got backups. Come Come give us something. And here's the thing about Detroit, when because we're both like they're not terrible.
No, the only issue I have for them that in terms of their makeup this coming season is the bigs. Like they just have too many of them and they don't have a good one. That's my issue.
Okay, here's issue number one. Do not we always poo-poo on Detroit for overpaying people.
Mm-hmm. Mason Plumlee, Kelly Olynyk, yes.
Mason Plumlee. No, didn't Kelly Olynyk get paid by Houston?
Oh, you're right. Yes, he did. Mason Plumlee was paid by Detroit.
And they flipped him to Charlotte somehow. Jeremy Grant paid
that was
to
a
come
dump.
To Detroit.
That was a dump.
And
they got a huge trade exception out of it, though.
But that's something that you know they're going to, like, you're looking at that. Mm-hmm. So you managed to trade up with these two people. So you got Marvin Bagley, who you're in Sacramento. You're just dysfunctional. You have a coach who says, you're not in my day one roster. I don't see you a part of this team. Okay, well, you guys just drafted 3 point guards in a row. Let's see how that works. You can't put them all three on there. This, you know, I'm not. Marvin Bagley has the keys to go MIP. Because
mm-hmm. I'll tell you another one who might be on that track, and that's Saban, and that's Sadiq Bey. Sadiq Bey is a really nice player, and he only averaged 16 points a game. I could see him jumping to 20.
So you have guys here who, like, because, you know, Jaden and Cade can get you the ball all over. Mm-hmm. Bagley, his numbers weren't terrible in Sacramento on a team where he was not the first through fourth option.
I will say this about Marvin Bagley III. His numbers in Detroit were actually not bad at all. Like 13 points, 6.5 rebounds, 53% from the field. Like he was like a good energy center. He seemed way more motivated in Detroit than he did in Sacramento, probably because he was playing for a contract.
Just like last year, somebody has to be on the over.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just keep picking all unders.
Like last year was Cleveland. We all thought down on Cleveland, and they like way surpassed expectations. So it's 27.5 for Detroit. They won 23 games last year. That's actually the same trajectory as Orlando. Like Vegas thinks that Orlando is going to be like 4 wins better than they were the previous season. They think the same thing for Detroit. I mean, is that too much of a leap for them? And that's kind of the big question here.
Well, here's the thing. I think, you know, when it comes down to Orlando and Detroit, one of those teams has to be better than the other. So I think Detroit is a harder team to play. They're, you know, they will rise up since mm-hmm. they have some sort of roster formation. They have potential to be like, you know what, we can do something. If we have motivated young kids out here who want to play as opposed to just like, you know, like a say Houston, where you had young kids who weren't motivated to play. They wanted.
Let me ask you this though, Dwayne Casey. If things go really sour, maybe the first month and a half, and we get into December, do you think he'll be gone?
The only way is if he'll be gone is if he loses Cade, and there's some sort of tiff in the locker room, and the players start disrespecting. But if you have the kids all buy in, like, look, we know we're terrible. Let's all be terrible together, and we could be better by the end of the year. Let's start overachieving a little bit. Okay, good. But if you have the, you know, like Houston, Kevin Porter gets a fight, goes home. You have Christian Wood, who's like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, come off the bench. No, I'm going to stay on the bench.
But you know what's interesting? Like, for example, like the Spurs. The Spurs lost to DeJounte Murray, you know, who's like their leading scorer and they're leading this and that. The Pistons lost Jeremy Grant. And that's, I mean, he averaged 19 points a game. He got to the free throw line a lot. He was a versatile player, and neither of us really feel pessimistic about Detroit. Obviously having a number one pick on the rise is really helpful, but I already mentioned Sadiq Bey and how much I like him. And then you get Ivy in the draft. We you know, he's sight unseen, but you never know. Isaiah Stewart is a good rebounder. They got some potential there.
I will say this, and this is sort of the, you know, we'll all but seal Dwayne Casey's fate of being fired. Remember, he took over a Toronto team that was god-awful and had nobody.
They were bad. So within 2 years, they were good.
He got to get a bad team, to become good. So there's chance with this young, moldable roster, he can do it again. So by default, I'm going to have to take the over because somebody has to be on the over. And, you know, they're not tanking. They're not like, we need seven draft picks. They're not going, you know, we need this. No, they're just, we got our one pick. We're going to try to find a talent that we like that fits our system. Let's try to do something with it.
Yeah, this is one where, like, we talked in another preview about Houston and how Houston has so much cap space going into 2023, and it's like, yeah, but who's going to go there? They've proven they have no pedigree. This is the year for the Pistons where if they can show, hey, look at what we have here, kind of like Brooklyn did when they had D'Angelo Russell and Joe Harris and Jared Allen, and they had the cap room and they were able to attract stars. For Detroit, this is the year that they could pull it off. If they could really take that leap with Cade, Bay, Durin, Ivy, and they have up to $60 million in cap room next year. That could be interesting because they're not going to be looking to like match offer sheets and stuff like that. They might be looking to get somebody who wants to opt out and be the missing piece.
With the sixth pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Indiana Pacers select Benedict Mathurin from Montreal, the NBA Academy Latin America, and the University of Arizona.
Suit aside, what do you like about him, Jay?
Well, he's a shot creator and a shot maker. Shot 37% from three. His true shooting percentage was over 57%. Another guy with really good speed, especially in transition, and he moves really well without the ball. He's an excellent cutter. And I think Tommy Lloyd's offense was perfect for Ben Mathurin for cuts. He's in the 86th percentile in scoring off of cuts in college basketball last year. And he's a good defender, good pick and roll defender, and a guard rebounder. Averaged just about 6 rebounds per game last year for Arizona. He reminds you a little bit of Caris LeVert.
Adam, the Indiana Pacers. This is
under.
Not the... What?
Under. Indiana Pacers. Under. Move on. Let's just... This is not this. Indiana also has a team. Move on.
Boy, you just got the jump on me. It was like it was almost like when they said yes to that trade request by the Kings. Do you want Tyrese Halliburton? Yes, yes. I'll do it now. Are you still shocked by that trade? Like, are there still days where you wake up and you say, "Did the Kings really trade a star rookie in the second year of his deal?"
They didn't. He's not a star rookie. He was just.
Yes, he is.
Sabonis,
he was third in the voting for Rookie of the Year. He had almost equal numbers the next year.
Sabonis was the better player of the two. Halliburton was more beloved of the two.
Oh, no. We'll revisit that one.
And later. It's one of those, at the time, we can't have these two. These two can't play together.
18 points and 9 assists per game is not like better than Sabonis?
Are you
kidding me?
What we have here is
failure to communicate. Yes,
we have a team there. You know they're going to trade Buddy Hield. They've been trying to trade, you know, Miles Turner for 2 years now.
I'm shocked at how easy it is to have Hield in these packages. Like he's still got a second. He's still got one more year after this, or like right around $20 million. Why do you think so many people want him? Because he's just a gunner.
Because that's what he is. He's just you want. That three-point shooter just sits there and can hit down 40% any given time.
He was the leading scorer once it was all over. Obviously Sabonis had more points, but Brogdon's gone too. Oh, by the way, Malcolm Brogdon's not a Pacer anymore. He's a Celtic. But yeah, Hield averaged 19 points a game. So
you got Halliburton. Chris Duarte really overachieved last year.
Yeah, he was shockingly good.
You like Benedict Mathurin.
Benedict Mathurin looked good in summer league. Yeah, super athletic, came from Arizona.
So you figure Hield's gone, he'll get his minutes.
Miles Turner is going to be gone. I mean, there's just no way he's going to stay. I'd be stunned.
But you got Goga there, who has to do something. This is his year to shine. And then Jalen Smith.
What did you call him?
Goga?
I thought you called him Goga Bear.
No, Goga Bear. Okay. That's when you got Goga off the scrap. It's his fourth year.
You're talking about Goga Badazi, yeah. He's going to have to play because Isaiah Jackson is going to take his spot if he doesn't play well.
And you got Jalen Smith. So the only thing I could say about this is Jalen Smith in line for sort of an MIP? He put up good numbers in his limited time there because Phoenix was like, this was a waste of a pick. So he's not super terrible.
He had good. he had good moments. Like, he averaged 13 points and eight rebounds in the 25 games he played with Indiana. So he wasn't like a total loss. Phoenix just didn't see it in him. He just didn't fit. What about Daniel Theis, who they got in that Brogdon deal?
He's just a cheap backup.
Okay, but yeah, he's a decent scorer at times. Like, he'll defensively, I think he's a black hole. But they also got Terry Taylor again. Like, he was a two-way guy that wound up like playing his ass off. So they basically gave him a guarantee. Andrew Nembhard they drafted. I'm not sure if we're even going to see much of him. Like, this is all very much a scrap heap team, is what I'm trying to say.
But I see TJ McConnell getting moved eventually because there's no.
Yeah, his injury issue is pretty concerning, especially when you talk about hip injuries and stuff like that. Like, could he even come back to be even a modicum?
Exactly. I can't see him. Like, so yeah, Nembhard, you'll see him play because I can't see TJ McConnell getting a ton of minutes. Yep. There's no other point guard on this team.
No, Nembhard. I mean, and do you expect him, Nembhard, to all of a sudden start games? I doubt it. You know, maybe Nesmith. I mean, Aaron Nesmith did show some promise as a defensive player at times for Boston when he was needed in a pinch, but only in spurts. He wasn't able to, like, really carry a good defensive performance from beginning to end when he even for 20 minutes. So you kind of worry about what he can do for Indiana. He was part of the Brogdon deal. So
yeah, so basically what can they get for Miles Turner is then
they're
going to
want draft
at.
Picks and a star. That's what they're going to want.
So just straight under. That's all I can say about them.
Yeah, that over under is 24.5. You feel really good about that. That would be last in the East. That would be the worst team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Like, you feel pretty good that there's not a team in the East that will be worse than them.
No.
Not even Detroit or Orlando.
Because they all have to play each other. Somebody has to win. We don't have ties. If we had ties in basketball, I would be like, you know what? We got a lot of ties coming with these two teams, with a lot of these bad teams.
So like, let's just kind of go do the rundown. So, Buddy Hield, you feel like he might get moved?
He'll get moved.
Okay. Jalen Smith, MIP candidate, just based off the fact that he's going to get a lot of playing.
That's what I said.
A five if Turner's gone.
Somebody has to get the rebound. Somebody has to be the big man, you know, dump into the paint.
Yeah,
so,
well, you know, the other thing too is that, like, you know, we talked about some other teams where, like, you know, things seem to be in disarray and it looks like guys will get moved in the midseason, and you're not sure about the over unders, you know, with the wins and losses, because you're like, well, what if they wind up being something better than that or something worse than that once they get to the other side of the deal? The thing with that, Indiana, even if they move Turner and Hield, they're gonna get like treasure troves of draft picks and like promising guys. I feel pretty confident that they're going to probably be the worst team in the East, meaning under on the 24.5. Even if they move Hield and Turner, I don't see them like improving vastly, is what I'm trying to say.
DeJounte Murray from the Spurs to the Hawks, and another kind of rebuild situation for the Spurs. They get some high picks, but they lose one of their best players. How do you think the Spurs made it?
So I'll go B plus. In giving away DeJounte Murray, I think the Spurs have just accepted the reality, which is they're not going to be capable of competing in the Western Conference, and it's going to get harder in the coming years, really this upcoming season. And so for the Spurs, you have to build a very particular way. You have to do it through the draft. You have to find talent. You have to make sure that you are able to create your own culture of excellence and your own pool of talent, because you're not going to get guys in free agency. That means a total teardown, a total rebuild. It's a B+, but again, these grades depend on what comes in terms of how they actually utilize these assets.
All right, Adam, the San Antonio Spurs. How do you go from mediocre to much worse? I got it. You trade away your best player.
Yeah, but we got four first-round picks for him. Therefore, it's – now, the only reason this is done, and this is the – I guess the whole – you know, to make a long story short, this had to have been all Pop's plan. He probably was like – they're like, what can we do to keep you here? Hey, you know what? I want to work with some young guys and try to mold some new talent. As opposed to, you want to make a try to retread? Do you want to try to get somebody? I think he said, you know what? I like coaching kids. I don't want to coach 35-year-old guys who are stuck in their ways and they,
That phase where they had like Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge. Not LaMarcus Aldridge wasn't old at that point, but his time was expiring. And then also the Kawhi Leonard fall apart that happened. It basically took them out of the running to be like a legitimate contender. And that's kind of what put into motion what you're talking about with Popovich.
Yeah, it had, like, you know, again, Rudy Gay, Thaddeus Young, all of a sudden, well, you got Josh Primo.
He was the youngest player in the NBA last year, Josh Primo.
You just gave money to Keldon Johnson. Like, oh, you know, okay, that's what you want to do. You just want to coach kids. We know we're not going to be good, so, okay, go have fun for a bit. Go chase some more wins. Just pad your total. It's nothing serious. Just sort of do your thing. But, this roster is pure garbage.
The quote-unquote best player that I alluded to was DeJounte Murray. Like, he would average 21 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. He was Mr. Everything. They did lose that play-in game to New Orleans, which knocked them out. What I understand that getting multiple first-round picks from a Hawks team that was teetering on being legitimate, so if things don't break their way, you got some really nice picks coming to you. I get that. But DeJounte Murray was on a contract that was like below $20 million at the most, and it was tied in for at least 2 more years. Like, I just wonder if you could have just made a little more out of it. You know, like, maybe you could have just found another year to have DeJounte have the keys to the car. Or did you think that maybe the fact that DeJounte's not a great defensive player, his ability to make shots on his own is not exactly up to par, even though he's a really good like playmaker, that do you think that was the thing that decided for RC Buford, all right, you know, we can let this guy go because we might have something better in the future?
Well, they got 4 firsts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got 4 firsts for him. So, okay, we like you, but this offer was too good. The same thing last year when they got rid of Derek White. Hey, really, we really like you, but they want to give us a first-round pick for you.
Yeah, and there were signs that things were coming. Like you talked about just now, the one involving Derek White. They got a first-round pick with that. There was another one that we talked about involving Jakob Poeltl, where he almost went to Charlotte for PJ Washington in a first round pick coming back to San Antonio. So clearly, you know, you're stacking up picks, which is kind of that's the thing now. If you're not in the running to be a really good team, you need to get as many bites at the apple, quote unquote, as you can. They had a few bites at the apple in the draft. They had 3 first round picks and they kept them all. Malachi Branham, Blake Wesley, and who's the third one that I'm missing?
Sochan.
Oh, Jeremy Sochan, right. Because I didn't see him at all in Summer League. That's why I forgot him on. But yeah, like they're going, I guess, with some intrigue, different types. And then, you know, they did bring in Josh Richardson out of that Derek White deal, and he's going to stay because he's got another year in his deal. Devin Vassell had some intriguing moments. Jakob Poeltl is actually a really good shot blocker, he's a good inside scorer.
But look at this roster. Your starting 5 is Trey Jones, Darren Vassell, Keldon Johnson, your boy Doug McDermott, and then Poeltl. How is that good?
It's not. I mean, it's going to be – this is beyond a rebuilding. Like, the thing is, the only thing that's weird about it is that it's almost – you remember when the Hawks decided to rebuild, but they had Mike Budenholzer still, and Budenholzer was just kind of, like, checked out, and then he left for Milwaukee, but he had one year with that really bad Hawks team. Like, this is kind of like what it feels like with the Popovich. The only difference is that Popovich, I don't think, is going to be leaving for another organization. I think this will be salutations.
Okay, so the only real note I have for this team is Primo is sort of set up to be a soy.
Okay.
A soy contender, most improved contender.
As we had talked about on the show.
Because there's nobody who's going to do anything on that team, so he's primed to get the minutes if he can show he's somewhat competent.
That he's not going
to
be a potential, like, a breakout guy because of the fact that he's, like, he's on this level of, like, other people with great second year. It's because he just has the opportunity because the minutes are there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. What do you think of Zach Collins? He's going to have one more year with a non-guarantee next year. He's had the injury issues, but he did play later in the year and he showed some promise. Like, do you think he can kind of jump back into what he seems?
No, I don't expect him being there at the trade after the trade deadline.
You think he'll
expect
be,
him to be cut
because of the non-guarantee?
They got Gorgui Dieng. McDermott. There's really no future for him either. So.
Yeah, there's really not a lot of sexy stuff going on here because even after Murray, they didn't really have big departures. Like Gallinari was Danilo Gallinari. He was a buyout. I mean, that was something that they just knew was going to happen the moment he got shipped there. And they had so much cap room that they could easily buy him out. Lonnie Walker IV went to the Lakers. I don't even know how much they believed in him. Isaiah Roby was with the Thunder last year. He's like a nice little tweener. Big type guy, so I wonder if he'll be able to get some minutes there along with everybody else. I know you keep mentioning, like, it seems like anybody can get minutes on this squad because it feels like the Bad News Bears. The over under is, I mean, Vegas is agreeing it's 24.5 wins. That would be the worst in the West. Where are you at with it?
That's a hard under.
Now listen, they had 34 wins last year, so they're just these constant overachievers. Like, the whole idea of Vegas with the Spurs is you never bet against them because if you go under, they always overachieve. Are you saying this is the year that they won't?
Yeah, I think 24 is the overachieving number. I think it could easily be 19 and under 20 quite easily.
I thought they were going to be the worst team in the league last year, and they just totally took me by surprise. I didn't see Murray having that emergence as like a triple double threat every night type of guy, despite the holes in his game. Like, he just really stepped up to the plate. Now you ship him out. Now you're relying, like you said, McDermott, Poeltl, Keldon Johnson, who got an extension. So he's clearly like going to be part of their future. Vassell, Kata Bates, Giop came back. You know, you're going to take a flyer on Romeo Langford, who didn't really show that much, but you never know. Primo, like you said, at the point guard position. And then the rookies. It's going to be a really, really weird team. I don't know if they can really get – the problem I have for them is that I don't think there's any way they can get on any run to start the season because they're just so inept in terms of talent.
I'm going to tell you something happened yesterday. The league executives are wondering what the heck it means, and it happened within 5 minutes. It was a trade yesterday between the Utah Jazz and the Brooklyn Nets. It's a very strange trade. It's a very strange trade. And you'd really have to be a Jazz or a Nets fan to even know what I'm talking about right now.
Okay.
I don't even know if
I'm
you guys know
what
I'm talking
about. I'm on the edge of my seat. Yeah. I have Loge's notifications turned on.
They traded Royce O'Neal, who is a role-playing three-point defensive shooter, to Brooklyn for a future first-round draft pick. And so you're going, well, what do you care about Royce O'Neal? Why does that matter? Why would the Jazz do that? Why would the Jazz, who have two stars on their roster, take a player who's one of their starters and best defensive players and trade him in a salary-dumping move? Why would they do that? That trade, that Royce Young trade yesterday, was a very strange trade.
All right, Adam, the Utah Jazz, they got to the first round after going out in the second round the year before, but they're going to run it back. Oh, wait, no. They're doing the exact opposite of running it back.
It got blown up so fast, and it's funny, like, you know, when I started taking notes for all of these, I wrote, nobody's going to be on this roster within... You know, I said 3 years. I'm like, most likely be 2 years. And all of a sudden, bam, everybody's getting pulled out. And it's like, I have never seen a team go from like playoffs to they might just be the worst team of all time next year.
Yeah, the only one I could think of like that was the Lakers when everything went sour with Dwight Howard after the trade. And, you know, then Kobe went down. And that would be the only other scenario I could think of where it really, really like broke bad for him. For Utah, let me ask you this. So when we did the preview last year, I remember this. We said, because they had the best record in the league in the 2021 season, and they had good home court. They lost to the Clippers in the second round, even though Kawhi Leonard was out for like the last two games, which was like shocking. I think that was a telltale of like that there wasn't – that maybe Utah wasn't what they were made out to be. based off their regular season record, but when we previewed them for 22, we both said, like, you know, you're dipping into the tax by re-signing Mike Conley. You got Mitchell and Gobert. Gobert is still a force. Mitchell is a great scorer. You got Bojan Bogdanovic. You've got
Rudy Gay.
Joe, you signed him. Joe Ingles.
Hassan Whiteside. Like, you're bulking up for a championship run. And then
what we said was, and with Quinn Snyder, and what we said was, if they flame out again, now the questions are going to start to creep in. But here's the thing. The speculation didn't creep in for Utah after they got eliminated by the Mavericks in the first round. It blew up like dynamite with Danny Ainge and the organization. It was absolutely insane how much attrition they went through.
The funny thing is, like, you have Minnesota who overpaid for Gobert. That's fine. But then to be delusional and be like, well, we're going to get this for everybody. And then you have, you know, Donovan Mitchell gets finally shipped out to Cleveland because the Knicks sort of played themselves. And it's like, well, they had a good offer. They had R.J. Barrett. And it's just like, oh, they didn't want R.J. Barrett at all. So you're basically telling your fans, don't check in for 3 years. Don't buy tickets because – you know, we had one player we sort of could have jump-started with. But no, to me, a 2027 draft pick is more valuable than a guy who's sort of a borderline all-star, still developing, can be a centerpiece of a franchise, is currently the centerpiece of a franchise.
Yeah, go ahead.
And you're saying, no, to me, having a 2029 pick where we could get the best eighth grader right now is more important. So it's just like, oh, that's a rough pill to swallow for Jazz fans of just like, yeah, we got no chance to.
And Jazz fans are loyal. Like, they've always had good, like I said, they've always had good home court. They were one of the only, unless I'm wrong, they were one of the only arenas during the COVID, not everybody in the arena season 21, where they actually had sold out crowds. You know, it's just a different atmosphere in Utah for like a lot of reasons, but they're loyal. They've always gone out there and supported the Jazz. And the other truthful part, Adam, is that even when they did their reboot under Snyder, when they had Hayward and Favors, they did reboot. They did have some losing seasons, but they kind of creep back in. And then when Hayward left, they got Mitchell in the draft, and that was a godsend, along with Gobert still there. And they just kind of like eased right back into the playoffs without a hiccup. So it's always felt like the Jazz have just been a good team for like at least a decade, maybe about 8 to 7 years now. And the thing is, too, this is a team preview. This is the 22-23 preview of the Jazz. But you can't help but think of like, okay, look at all of this stuff that they lost. Because when you lose that many players, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, there's already rumors that Bojan Bogdanovic and Mike Conley are on the market. It's like you can't help but think of it. And it's also in phases because Gobert, like you said, got traded to Minnesota in the summer. The Donovan Mitchell trade happened in August or late at the very end of August. So it was like, wow. it was like a blow up and then they blew up what they blew up, you know?
Yeah, and it's, well, we got, you know, our centerpiece is Colin Sexton, and, you know, we got Walker Kessler from Minnesota, and then the first-round pick from Kansas, whose name I'm blanking on.
Ochai Agbaji.
Agbaji, yes.
Yeah.
They actually got
two picks that are actually already manifested. Ochai Agbaji and then Walker Kessler.
Yeah, so that's two of your starting five are – our rookies, you know, the over-under from Vegas came in, you know, very early at 32. I'm not going to – I could even say 15 might be tough.
And a half by the end. Yeah.
Like, 15 is just a straight hard under. Like, you know, you get rid of Bogdanovic, you get rid of Jordan Clarkson, you get rid of Mike Conley because, well, we'd rather have these – you know, 20-year-olds.
It's hard to talk strategy about this team. You know, they bring in Will Hardy, who coached under Ime Udoka in Boston. And, you know, and Danny Ainge is there, and clearly he had a relationship with Hardy, and that was one of the reasons he was hired. But you don't really know what you're going to see yet because he's a brand-new coach. But, like, let me ask you this. Like, let's just say that it's a standing pat situation until February, and we have a team that is pretty much constituted of, you know, Bojan, Clarkson, Lauri Markkanen, Sexton, who got that, who did get that money. He got it because it turned into a sign and trade. 4 years, $72 million. Jared Vanderbilt, Malik Beasley, Talen Horton-Tucker also got tossed in there because he got flipped for Patrick Beverly. What do you think they can actually do? I know it's going to be a bad team, but like, what do you think they can actually do in terms
historically
of
bad?
Yeah, but like, what's their approach? Like, what can
you're
they try to
nothing.
Do?
Nothing. You, it's called play the kids 35 minutes. Hope they do something and develop good habits. And
I think Vanderbilt's going to get a lot of minutes and wind up on the deadline.
So your starting five is Kessler, Vanderbilt, Markkanen,
Sexton, and Conley, and then Gay is your and Boyan. I mean Boyan.
Well, assuming they're going to be gone, Horton Tucker, you're starting two.
I mean, if Boyan is gone, yeah. I mean, they do like that foreign guy that they brought over, Simona Fontecchio. They kind of like him.
It's more like Philly was just like, you know, screw them. They deserve this. But the Utah fans don't deserve to have 3 years of I don't need to tune in.
Yeah, I mean it's a situation where they're going to be really bad for multiple years, and this is year one of the bad years. Like it's almost an introduction of a new era, but not the kind of era that you would prefer. Like let me ask you this: like it's hard to say who they're going to miss the most. I mean you just lost a guard that averages 26 points a game and a center who averaged 15 rebounds and 2.5 blocks a game. Like that's kind of hard to replace, but you know the other ones they lost were like Whiteside, Ingles. They already traded away Royce O'Neal. I will say for Royce O'Neal, they flipped him for a first round pick. That was actually not a bad deal.
You know who they're gonna miss? The fans.
They're gonna be there. I'm telling you, man, they're gonna support them. The only time I remember them being really bad was when they had like under Sloan, they had this one really bad year. They were in the lottery and they got Darren Williams. So maybe they'll strike gold like early on in this whole process because it is sort of a process. Like, would you call it on that level or would you say that this is something a little more planned out by Danny Ainge?
Let's just get picks so we can get Nesmith and Romeo Langford and Desmond Bain that we can flip for 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's first round picks are not all they seem. You need to cash in.
Yeah. And being involved in a sign and trade didn't hurt them either. Cause I mean, they're way under the hard cap now that they don't have Mitchell and Gobert's salaries anymore. So now you're like you're going to probably be an under the cap team next year too. So you're going to be in that same scenario as Detroit and Orlando and San Antonio, where it's like, oh, okay, maybe we can dump them there. You know, so you never know. Maybe Russell Westbrook will go there. And that'll do it for this scrap heap version of the preview tier. I mean, I promise it gets better, but I hope people enjoyed it. I mean, me and Adam are completists. We talk about them all. You remember that thing in Pee Wee's Big Adventure where he's saving all the animals, but then there's the snakes, and he just keeps staring at the snakes, and he's like, like these are the snakes. Like, we have to rescue them all. And
so, Orlando is just our snakes, because I think they've been here every year.
They've been the
year.
Snakes since, I mean, when has Orlando, I know they went to the playoffs for a cup of coffee when they had Aaron Gordon and Nick Vucevic and Fournier, but it was like that was it. Like that was the only time I ever remember Orlando even like sniffing the playoffs, you know?
It's been a long
haul. The NBA championship was in Orlando once, but the Magic were barely involved.
And then Sacramento is just a perennial just
soap opera. Soap opera. You know, but no, I mean, some of these teams are interesting. I mean, Utah, the futility meter, it's going to get challenged. I mean, we always talk about like Hinky Sixers and the Nuggets and the Clippers of the late 90s. Like, do you think we're going to be touching that type of anti-greatness?
San Antonio and Utah are going to have the battle for the worst records of all time.
And then, I mean, don't forget about Oklahoma City without Chet Holmgren. I mean, now they do have SGA, you know.
But, you know, with those two teams, it's going to be like 12 and 13 wins mm-hmm. for those two guys. It's just going to be
free money.
Bad. But on the flip side, I can see Sacramento bursting out of this group because, like we mentioned, this is just a weird Cleveland, like, I don't know what's going on here. There's something that seems off, and it seems fun.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that the mixture that they have along with the draft pick of Keegan Murray bringing in Malik Monk, I don't think Sacramento is completely like completely dead in the water. Like, I feel like the other teams that we brought up, you know, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Utah, they're dead in the water. Like, they got no shot. But anyways, like, for me, I like Detroit. I think it's very unlikely. I feel pretty good that all eight of these teams are going to stay here, which would be in the vicinity of like 30 wins and under. But I think Detroit might get like a second wind in the back half of the season and try to make it run for the play-in.
They could, and you know, Detroit and Sacramento on each side can be sort of a spoiler of this group, because look at everybody else, like Indiana and San Antonio and Oklahoma City, and are like, oh, none of these guys are going to do anything. So yeah, by default, they're the two ones who could do anything out of this group. But the thing about, like, you know, Detroit and Sacramento is, like I mentioned, they'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, like Cleveland last year was in this group, and
Oklahoma City is not going to be fun to watch. When San Antonio plays Utah, it's just going to be, you have to be a real big fan. You have to be one of those people, you know, like if you're like an NCAA fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be like, I want to watch the Big West Conference Championship, and I need to watch every, like, I just
hey! Love
basketball so much.
Why? But, don't talk about me like that. Which player are you kind of looking forward to seeing, even if it's somebody kind of that you think might break out due to the fact that there's just going to be available time for some of these players?
Marvin Bagley. Okay. This is his chance. This is his redemption one that him and his people have been saying is going to happen.
I think Tyrese Halliburton's numbers are going to explode in Indiana.
But Halliburton's will, but once they trade Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, it's going to be garbage.
Yeah, like last year, I mean, we obviously with Cleveland, you know, they moved out of that tier and Darius Garland became an all-star. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had a great year, so him having another great year would not shock me in the least bit. And then Keldon Johnson in San Antonio, just because they just don't have a lot of options. Like,
I mean, Banchero in Orlando, can he will that team to do anything?
I think this is year one of that ramping up period where if they do get somewhere where it's like, okay, Orlando's actually good now. This is the beginning of it, kind of like what Detroit was last year. Now, Detroit was really bad last year, too. That's why I think you're going to see improvement there. You know, I don't think Jaden Ivey is the savior. I don't think Cade Cunningham is the savior. But
I think one more draft.
Yeah, I think them together with a couple of those
additions. Third guy in there, and you might have something. But for that, I am Adam Murray for Andrew Riesch. Have a good one.
Take care. No way he's going to stay. I'd be stunned.
But you got Goga there, who has to do something. This is his year to shine. And then Jalen Smith.
What did you call him?
Goga?
I thought you called him Goga Bear.